for paying the tithes. Somebody's saying, Reverend, why we do this? Because we want to learn to give back to God what he's given to us. On next Sunday, Chancel Choir will have their anniversary. They're inviting choir members of various choirs to join them, all the choirs to join them in singing, and the congregation to join them in singing. We're standing, those who can and those who will, to share in the litany for paying the tithe.
I don't know about you, church, but I'm excited about tithing because I have seen the blood.
It's good to know Jesus, everybody ought to know Jesus. Ooh, he's the lily of the valley, a bright and morning star. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know Jesus. Everybody ought to know Jesus. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's good to know the Lord. Came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. Well, I found in him a good old resting place, and he has made me glad. Oh, it's good to know Jesus. Everybody ought to know Jesus. Well, he's the lily of the valley, a bright and morning star. It's good to know the Lord. Yes, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pity every groan. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. And it's good to know Jesus. Yes, it's good to know Jesus. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know him. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know him. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know him. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know him. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know him. It's good to know him. As the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, it's good to know the Lord. It's good to know.
It's good to know him. It's good to know the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know that it's good to know him? That it's good to love the Lord. Isn't it good to know him? He's worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of all of our thanksgiving. There are some folk that you don't need to know, but you sure need to know the Lord. It's good to know him. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not holding this, but I am holding this. It's good to know him. It's good to know him. Lord our God, how thankful we are for this day and for this preaching opportunity. It's good to know you. It's good to know your grace. It's good to know your mercy. It's good to know your forgiveness. It's good to know your love. And so, our God, we come now to listen and to preach your holy word. We're not worthy to be in this sanctuary, but because of your amazing grace, we now have the opportunity. And so we confess our sins and know that you will forgive us, that you will cast our sins into the lake of forgetfulness. Thank you, our God, for this chance, for you are God of second chances. And we thank you for the many chances that you've given us. When we would do right, we did wrong. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to the forgiving God. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. For it's in the precious name of Christ our Lord we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. Amen. We continue our preaching from our series of sermons from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians that Paul talks about agape love. Those of us who have had the opportunity to study Greek or to hear pastors or preachers talk about love know that there are three, but really four kinds of love that the Greeks share, or the Greek word love means. First, we know that it means philios, which means brotherly love. It is a love that brothers and sisters have one for the other. It's the kind of love that sororities talk about and fraternities. I never shall forget while going through Alpha, crossing the burning sands, every time a brother would hit me, he said, "Man, I'm hitting you because I love you as a brother." Y'all catch that on your way home. Every time he would give me a lick, he'd say, "This is to impress upon you the love of brothers." As I've gotten older, I don't need nobody hitting me to tell me how much they love me. Amen. And so there's that word philios, which means brotherly love. It's out of the word philios that you get the word Philadelphia, meaning the city of brotherly love. And then there is that word eros, where you get the word erotic, which deals with the sexual atmosphere, the sexual gratification in the arena of love. And then you get the word sergos, which deals with motherly and fatherly love for their children. Can I help you here? The love that a mother and a father has for a child is deeper than fraternal love. It is deeper than sorority and the kind of love that we share as brothers and sisters. But when a child does not act right, sometimes the father will walk away. But thank God for that mother that stays with the child. Sometimes dad is not there. We father, but we give a seed, but we don't stay there to water and to plant and to watch the growth. Come on, help me. You know I'm telling the truth. Women, you ought to be standing on your feet clapping now. But let me tell you, a mother's hard to turn a mother's heart away from a child. Then we have the word agape. This is the kind of love that Paul is talking about. It is a love that is also a part of our text for the day. It is agape love. It is God's love. John 3:16 points out to us that kind of love that is unselfish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. And so we come to the text. Paul writes to the church at Corinth because that church is not demonstrating the kind of agape love that is necessary. Agape love forgives even when it's hurting. Agape love turns the other cheek even when the smack on the cheek is still bruising. And so when I look at agape love, I see love that forgives even when a person does not deserve to be forgiven. That's why God is such a good God. Because he forgives us even when we are not worthy of forgiveness. It ought to be somebody here that has committed a sin that you are not worthy of being forgiven for. But because of the love of God, because of the mercy of God, because of the grace of God, God has stepped in with a forgiving touch and he has forgiven you of that sin. Why is that agape love so important? Because agape love is long-suffering. It suffers with us long. It looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. Not only is it long-suffering, but it is kind. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the kindness of God. God is so kind, so gracious, so merciful until he woke us up this morning and started us on our way. We didn't deserve to wake up. But thank God that the alarm clock of faith, the alarm clock of love went off. And we got up this morning with strength enough to dress ourselves. And as the Reverend Dr. Elykin James of the Trinity Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia says, he even put a little bread on our table and gave us strength and gave us a resource called jam to go on our toast. Help me somebody. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of agape love. It is kindness. And then God's love does not envy. It does not envy. And it does not brag on itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. And seeketh not his own. And that brings me to our text. Our text that brings me to our sermon for the morning. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, love is not selfish. Love is not all about me. It is also about you. Come on, touch your neighbor, touch your husband, touch your wife. Say, don't be so selfish. Oh, you've already said that before. You've told somebody before, don't be so selfish. Matter of fact, somebody said that to somebody this morning. Don't be so selfish. When I look at this, how many of you have grown up in families where one child always wanted it all for him or herself? Always. You bring in three toys and they'll say, that's mine. All of it belongs to me. Mother can go out and cut a piece of pie, two or three pieces, and bring it in, put it on the table, and the child will just scoop it up like it's his or hers. Touch your neighbor and say, don't be so selfish. Real love does not seek its own. This is a favorite expression of Paul to describe the selflessness. It speaks of a person whose focus is outward, not inward. It describes the heart that is not so consumed with its own interests that it cannot show concern for the needs and interests of others. In Philippians 2, Paul expressed the same principle of real love this way. If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. If there's any joy, if there's any comfort in Christ, find it in the love of Christ. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Don't know about you, but I've been in churches where people want to run everything. They want to run everything, not for the glory of God, but because of their selfish ambition. I know that there are some folk who say, the pastor wants to run everything. The pastor wants to do this. The pastor wants to do that. It is not because of selfishness, but is it because of the gift of administration that the Lord has given to the pastor? Come on, teach, pastor. It is the gift of administration. It is the gift of being the overseer to making sure that things work for the glory of God. And so, yes, his name may appear on the paper, but he delegates, he gives responsibility to others. And if you don't do it, then the pastor steps in. Why? Because he has boards and people who look at him and say, why did you let that happen? Can I help myself here by telling you it's not selfishness. It is for the glory of God that God has placed an overseer, someone to give direction, someone to carry the weight. Thank God for the gift of administration. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you look at these verses, they show that Paul's great passion is for those who have taken the name of Christ, is that they be of one mind. Yet this oneness will never be a reality in a church, a marriage, or any other relationship until we look not out only for ourselves, but look out for the interests of others. Paul even went so far as to say that real love will put the needs of others ahead of your own. The great sacrifice that a pastor makes is to leave his wife's bedroom to go to the hospital to be with someone who won't even speak to him on Sunday morning. The great sacrifice that pastors make is to go to funerals of folk and to preach the eulogy of folk who have talked bad about him, who have not given any tithes or any offering, but want the best eulogy. They want me to put them in heaven. And guess what? I put them in heaven, but I don't know how long they're going to stay. They may stay one day, but I'll tell you, I put them there because they want the pastor to put them there. But can I help myself by telling you it's not selfishness that the pastor does that? He does that because God loves everybody. And it's my responsibility to meet the needs of those who love me and those who don't. Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. The self-sacrifice in the face of people who do not love you. It does, however, express the kindness of Christ and the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2 and 5, it says of Christ that he humbled himself to leave the throne of heaven, to live in the limitations of a physical body, to walk the earth in poverty, to be a servant to people who would reject him.
to wash the feet of disciples who would abandon him, to die on the cross for the sins of people who did not deserve him. Nowhere do we find a better example of real love than in Jesus Christ himself. He showed the kind of real love that is able to look beyond its own interests and embrace the concerns of others. No one is a better example of selfless love than the one who left heaven to come to our rescue. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. In Jeremiah 31:3-4, it reads, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again I will build you up, and you shall be rebuilt." Can I tell you something about the love of God? The love of God is so kind that when I'm sinking deep in sin, he reaches down and lifts me up. The love of God is so loving until when I turn my back on him, he reaches around and comes in front of me. So that when the storms of life are raging, I can look up and see Jesus saying, "Peace, be still." When Paul writes in Romans 8:35-39, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And then Paul looks back at his own life and see what he's been through. He's been through shipwrecks. He's been through imprisonment. He's been through sickness. Matter of fact, he had a thorn in the flesh. And that thorn, he asked God to take it away from him. 3 times he said, "Take it away." But God did not take it away. Can I tell you something? No matter what you're going through, you may have to go through it. But listen to these words that he gave Paul. He says, "My grace, my grace, my grace, my unmerited favor, my love for the those who are unlovable, my grace is sufficient." Can I ask you a question? Does anybody here know something about the grace of God? Do you know anything about that amazing grace? Do you know anything about God's grace? God's grace, God's grace moves in the lives of people. And so Paul says to us, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." There are some things that seem to separate us from the love of God. When a loved one dies, we turn our backs on God. Kumar Ross, in a book, Death and Dying, said that there are at least 5 stages of death. The first stage is when you hear of someone dying that you love. You said, "I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it." It's denial. But then after denial, yes, she says that you then turn on God and say, "Lord, why did you let this happen?" But I'm so glad that Job is a perfect example of agape love. When he lost all his children, lost all his cattle, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you bless God when death comes in your room? Can you bless God when your loved one dies? Yes, I can bless God. Let me tell you why I can bless him. Because he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Kumar Ross says, when you turn your back on God, God does not turn his back on you. Then she said the 3rd stage of death is saying, "If I had been there, You look at yourself and say, I got the power to undo what God is doing. But I stop by on my way to heaven to tell you, you don't have the power. God does what he chooses to do. And he does everything for his glory. He does everything with his power. Can I help you by telling you, stay on in there. Don't turn your back on God. Don't try to play God. And then she says, you finally go on and say, well, I'll make the funeral arrangements. You make the arrangements, and then after the funeral arrangements, then you go on with life. Let me tell you why you can go on with life. Because he's our joy in our sorrow. He's our hope for tomorrow. Is there anybody here know something about Jesus the Christ? Can I help you here? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Who is this selfless Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus the Christ? He is the God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He is the beginning and the end. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the first fruit of the dead. In Genesis, he's the one who provides. Abraham said to Isaac, when Isaac said to him, Father, we have the wood and the fire for the burnt offering, but where is the lamb? Oh, yeah. Abraham said to his son, my son, God will provide. Is there anybody here that know that God will provide? That God will provide just what you need when you need it the most. Is there anybody here that the Lord has provided for you? He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. He gave me a brand new day, a day that I've never seen before. Is there anybody here that knows that God will provide rent for you when you don't have rent money? House note money when you don't have house note money? Is there anybody here that know God will provide tuition for you when you don't have tuition? Can I help you here? He is a provider. But then I like what Exodus says. Exodus says he is the I am that I am. Whatever you need, I am. Whoever you need, I am. Whatever you need, I got it. I got just what you need. You need a blessing? I got a blessing with your name on it. Is there anybody here? Oh, yeah. That the Lord has blessed you beyond measures. In Leviticus, he is a priest and the sacrifice. In Numbers, he is the defender and the feeder of 3 million Jews for 40 years in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy, he buried his servant Moses in an unmarked grave. I like what the old preacher said. The old preacher said, God can be a mighty good undertaker. He could be a mighty good film director. He takes Moses and buried him in an unmarked grave. And Joshua, he makes the sun stand still for a whole day so that Israel could win and be victorious. Is there anybody here that the Lord stepped in on time and held things back so he could be victorious? Oh, yeah. In Joshua, He is the guy that holds the sun back. But in Judges, he is the restorer of strength to Samson. When Samson had lost his strength, the Lord said, Samson, I'll give you strength back. He let his hair grow. In the prison, he was able to push the walls. Is there anybody here that God has given you strength to push the walls? Push the walls. Can I tell you, keep on hanging on there. Keep on doing the will of God. God will bring you through. In that Ruth, he is a redeemer kinsman. In Job, he's a living redeemer. In Psalms of Solomon, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Can I tell you something? In Job, oh yeah, he is a living redeemer. In Isaiah, he's a child Emmanuel. In Jeremiah, he is the potter that puts together the broken vessel. In Ezekiel, he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Old folks say, yeah, little wheel run by faith. big wheel run by the grace of God. Thank God for faith. Faith, faith, faith. Anybody here with faith in God, that God will bring you through, that God will set you free. In Matthew, he is the King of the Jews. The wise men came and said, we're looking for the King of the Jews. We've seen his star in the east, and we'll come to worship him. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's the Savior of the world who died to save us from death and damnation. Can I tell you something? It was on a Friday on a hill called Calvary. It was on a Friday that they whipped him up the hill. It was on a Friday that they spit on him. It was on a Friday that he took the road of Golgotha. He took the road to Golgotha. He took the road of sorrow. Is there anybody here that know he died? I like what the old preacher said. On Friday he died. But before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He thought about Jemison, knew that one day I'll sin. He said, forgive him, for he know not what he's doing and what he's going to do. But thank God he died on that Friday. But before he died, he put his hands in God's hand. He said, unto thee I commend my spirit. Can I tell you something? It's a good thing to commend your spirit. It's a good thing to commend your life to Christ. To Christ, to Christ, I surrender all. All to him I give. He died on that cross. Didn't he die? He didn't faint. He died. He died on the cross. Agape love died on the cross. But thanks be to God, he borrowed a tomb. And soon as he got up out of the tomb, he got up that third day morning. Deacon Shepherd, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Is there anybody here know something about the power of God? He has the power to give life. He has the power to take life. He has the power to heal. Is there anybody here that the Lord has healed you of a disease? Is there anybody here that had cancer in your body, but the doctor said, I don't see it anymore? Is there anybody here? Oh, that the doctor said, call the family. Call your loved ones. It's all over. But thanks be to God that God said, your time is not in the doctor's hands. Your time is in my hands. Thank God. Thank God. That early Sunday morning, Deacon Fairbanks, he got up from the grave with all power. I wish I had time to talk about all power. Not some power, but all power. Not black power, but all power. Not white power, but all power. Not Ku Klux Klan power, but all power. Not NAAC power, but all power. All power. Yeah. Hey. 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 All power. You don't have to help me. I feel my help coming here. Oh! Oh, power.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. That he put his foot on a cloud. Put his pie foot in the air. Sit down on a cloud. Came the first astronaut. Went on into heaven. And as he was going, an angel said, behold, I see you looking at him. But the same, the manner that you see him going, he shall return. That's why I love what he said. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me, in my Father's house. Oh, yeah. Then he said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Preach, pastor.
come back.
Yes, sir.
He's coming back. And I don't know about you, but that agape love, that unselfish love, that let Christ die, he's going to come back with it. And I can see him now picking up. That's why the old folks used to say, angels, angels, get my mansion ready. Mm-hmm. When you see me cry, I'm sending up temples.
All right.
When you hear me praying,
yeah, yeah.
I'm sending up temples.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Come on, man.
Go ahead.
I just wish I had the rhythm. Hallelujah. Come on, deacons. Standing. That unselfish love.
Praise him.
Come on, church, praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be. From the rising of the sun, from the rising of the sun, unto the going down of the same, he's worthy. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Praise him, praise him, praise the Lord. He's worthy. My blessed Savior, he's worthy. Praise him, praise him. Come on, let's praise the Lord. We've got something to praise him for. He woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. He gave us food to eat. Put clothes on our body. Let's praise him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy to be praised.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm, praise him. Praise him.
I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. I got a feeling that everything. Tony, I got a feeling.
Everything is
going to
be all right.
I've got a feeling. For I've got a feeling. I've got a feeling. It's going to be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. My pastor done told me everything's going to be all right. Come on, church. My pastor done told me that everything's going to be all right. Oh, the pastor that he told me. I said the pastor that told me that everything is gonna be alright, be alright, be alright. My mother done told me, my mother done told me, my mother done told me that everything's gonna be alright. Oh, my mother done told me that everything's gonna be alright. For my mother done told me that everything's gonna be alright. Be alright. Be alright. Be alright.
Watch this, watch this, watch this. The deacon.
The deacon done told me that everything's gonna be alright. Oh, the deacon done told me that everything's gonna be alright. I said the deacon done told me that everything's gonna be alright. Be alright. Be alright.
Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Watch this. Jesus.
Come on, put your hands together. Jesus. Jesus done told me that everything's gonna be alright. Oh, Jesus done told me that everything's gonna be alright. I said, he said it, it's gonna be alright. Be alright. Be alright.
Eternal, eternal and everlasting God, we thank you for telling us that agape love suffers long, that agape love, real love, is kind, that real love does not envy, that real love is not puffed up, and that real love seeketh not our own. Love, God's love, is not selfish. And now bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious unto us. Lift your countenance upon us And give us your love that we may share unselfish love with the people of God and with the world, that they may know that God so loved. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank Shelton for that barbecue Wednesday night. Congratulations to Stan Deckard. Stan Deckard was honored on yesterday for his humanitarian efforts.